now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to Bartley's commentaries on the cosmic wars. Well, here we are. Now they're talking about the second wave, been talking about the second wave of COVID-19, coronavirus, whatever one wants to call it, and thus justifying all these draconian measures. And this is happening in parallel to a mega communist uprising in the Western world and the destruction of what's left of European culture. I'm going to talk about this, and in the second part, I'll go into more detail for the members section. First, I'd like to talk about how important it was for the powers that be or powers that want to be to destroy the concept of racial identity, the concept of ancestry, the concept of European culture especially. We can all agree that the Europeans coming to North America, especially, people always forget this, okay? The Spanish, what they did, people like Hernando and other conquistadors, and just the wholesale slaughter they meted out to Native Americans. And we can all agree that that was wrong. It was fundamentally, intrinsically wrong. But there is such a thing as might makes right. And we have to understand that conquest, conquering, territorial expansion, colonialism has been going on all along. How long did black slavery last in America? Oh, 80 some odd years. Irish were the first slaves brought to North America, also made to work in the hellholes of the Caribbean. And slavery of whites under Islamic slave masters, well, that went on for a long, long time, far longer than the slavery of blacks in North America. Islamic slavery is still going on when the Obama administration, along with Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, made it possible for Libya to be taken over by jihadists with the help of NATO. Now, everything has totally come apart at the seams. Every last vestige of civilization, jihadists are running around, have been running around in Libya, beheading people left, right, and center. And they have open-air slave markets in Libya now, where primarily the slaves are black Africans. Okay, of course, we don't see Black Lives Matter there. We don't see Antifa there complaining or protesting because they're likely to get their heads lopped off. And then we have what they try to do in Syria. They try to do the same thing, turn loose a bunch of jihadists, which they did. It didn't work out quite as planned. The Russians had a lot to do with that. The point being that Islamic slavery lasted and is still ongoing much longer than the slavery of blacks in North Africa. But what the controllers, the tribalist collectivists, were able to do was tap into this unrequited rage in a lot of blacks. And I don't know why they call themselves African Americans. I'm talking about the violent ones, the ones that are, and I'll talk more about this, that are and have and have been attacking whites for no reason at all, just for the sheer sadistic pleasure of it. There are many who proudly call themselves African Americans, but don't cause these kinds of problems, don't commit crime, don't attack white people. And I'm talking about attacks meted out from young children all the way up to elderly, and all points in between. And when these thugs attack these white people, they swing as hard as they can. It doesn't matter if it's a girl, a female, a young woman, elderly, they swing for all they're worth. And I've even seen video of young black youths attacking an elderly African-American man, a black American, let's say. And his only crime, quote-unquote, he was wearing a t-shirt with the United States flag. This was enough to set off these black youth, and they attacked him. left him bleeding. Sucker punch. They love the sucker punch. Sucker punched the old man, fell over backwards, hit the back of his head on the pavement on the train platform. Blood started pooling beneath his head. The only person who went to help this guy was a white woman. Meanwhile, the black youths run into the train, board it. They're all laughing. So the violence isn't only meted out to white people, although primarily whites are the target. But the mere fact that an old guy in his late 80s, it looked like he was probably pushing 90 years old, would get attacked by some young thug, maybe 18, 19, 20 years old, if that. And then they all just laugh at him. And the only thing that set the guy off, and all of them off, because they were all taunting and causing problems for the old guy, was the fact that he was wearing a shirt with an American flag. So it just shows that symbols can set some of these people off. And also the Antifa types, the white, many of them, basically communist thugs. Everything is reduced to symbols. Everything has been reduced to emotions. Everything is an emotional reaction. And this has been a long-term process in the school indoctrination systems, what have you. I'm going to talk about all this. Point being, African slavery only lasted 80-some-odd years in America. Yes, they had Jim Crow laws afterwards. You know, a lot of people don't realize that the whole reason Posse Comitatus, if you really delve into the history behind it, a lot of people reflexively, knee-jerk response, think that the Posse Comitatus laws were put into effect to prevent the army from being a police force in violation of the Constitution. But there was a deeper nuance to that. General Philip Sheridan was responsible for Reconstruction in Louisiana and large parts of the South, actually Texas also. And what was going on was the Southern whites were still attacking blacks. They were still attacking and killing with particular fervor white abolitionists who'd gone to the South to help in the Reconstruction. And the local mayors, the local city councils, the local police and sheriffs, there were a lot of them were behind this effort at still persecuting blacks, killing whites especially, that were in support of blacks. So what Philip Sheridan did was he used his military to put a stop to this. But there was a hue and cry about it, and eventually Sheridan was recalled. They didn't want him, it seemed, to establish law and order, because a lot of speculators, a lot of so-called carpetbaggers were going into the South and buying everything up for pennies on the dollar, and for one of the reasons. But it's an interesting twist on things, because everyone talks about Posse Comitatus this, Posse Comitatus that. But General Sheridan was using the army to create law and order. And he was doing it, ironically, to protect blacks and abolitionist whites, pro-black whites who were getting killed, tortured in the streets in places like New Orleans and Louisiana and elsewhere. Hence the creation of part of the reason for the creation of the Posse Comitatus law that forbids the military, the army in particular, is acting as a constabulary, a police force. So, interesting. Keep that point in mind. But also remember that the United States Marine Corps is part of the naval service and therefore are not subject to Posse Comitatus. This is why the Marines were locked and loaded, ready to go in the wake of the Rodney King riots in Los Angeles. Getting back to the concept of the destruction of European culture, this was a necessary prerequisite to destroy America and Western civilization from within, to remove as much as possible, especially amongst the young, any last vestiges of family influence, of racial cultural influence, of the influence of European culture in particular. You have to understand that whites were regarded as the main adversary, are regarded as the main adversary by the tribalist collectivists. In the same way that the KGB regarded the CIA as the main adversary in the old Cold War spy-counter-spy espionage-counter-espionage game, well, for a long time now, the tribalist collectivists have regarded white people in general as their main adversary, as the source and the root of all their troubles, and therefore everything possible had to be done to destroy the cultural identity of the whites, and to prevent the European culture from remaining predominant. This was one of the key facets of the Frankfurt School of Cultural Marxism, to so degrade the morals, ethics, mores, culture of the West, that in the words of Willy Munzenberg, one of the key players in the Frankfurt School, their intention was to make Western culture stink. And what do we have now? We have Baphomet drag queens performing stripteases and giving poetry recitals to children in libraries. What do we see? We see total gender confusion. We see all under the guise, and this is taught in the colleges, the socialist colleges, gender diversity, multicultural diversity, which in practice means the legal immigration, importation of countless refugees who have no intention of assimilating with the native, largely white population. Remember, the Native American population, as far as America was concerned, was largely supplanted, okay? We can all agree that was wrong, but you go back to ancient times, the Romans, the Greeks, the Persians, this is what happens. I mean, you look in North America before the, after the Spaniards showed up and horses became available to the, especially the Native American tribes in the plain states, some of the tribes, particularly the Lakota and Dakota bands, became very aggressive. They became kind of like, not in the annihilation standpoint of, like, say, the Huns or the Mongols, where and also in Europe, where, especially in recent times, and in Africa, the intention, it seems, in some cases, was a war of genocide, just wiping out the opposition entirely. North American infighting between Native American tribes, not so much. Just a large, more powerful band moves in, supplants other smaller, weaker, divided tribes. And that was the case with the Lakota, because they attained mobility with the horses, which the Spanish left over. They quickly became the dominant force in the North American plain states. Point of relevance is that they moved in and they, for lack of a better term, conquered. Might makes right. Doesn't mean it's intrinsically right, but it's what happens. So if you're going to destroy a culture from within, you have to remove the identity, the cultural identity of the people. Replace it with this fake, contrived version of culture, the Hollywood culture, the Baphomet culture, the Luciferian Illuminati culture, and make it so through the teachings and indoctrination of the cultural Marxists in the schools, and beginning at a very early age, study the works of Beverly Eakman, The Cloning of the American Mind, Educating for the New World Order, great books. You activate the ego of the young pupils. Oh, you know, your parents, they're from another generation. They don't know what's going on. They can't even operate a laptop. They don't know anything. Their information is invalid. They're not in tune with the times. And this fosters, this is ego activation in the kids.
the ones that are susceptible to it, that don't have strong family ties. And remember, the attack against the American family has been going on for decades now. First, second wave, third wave feminism, etc. And the reduction of the American male, the Western male, to sheer impotence, to the level almost of a eunuch. So, in the white culture, in the European descended culture, and this is reflected in Hollywood, in cinema, in TV shows, males are routinely, we talked about this before, depicted as being weak and ineffective and impotent. So the students are told that the older generations that preceded them are stupid, they're out of touch with reality, they're out of touch with the times, they don't know anything. You, on the other hand, you are young social justice warriors. You're going to right the wrongs of the past. And that's when they begin, and it's not even a drip-feeding process. It's hammer blows. It's repetition over and over and over. A drumbeat of emotionally charged topics and subjects. Racial identity, racism, white guilt, white privilege, gender diversity, multiculturalism. And again, multiculturalism in practice means bringing in hordes of refugees and immigrants who have no intention whatsoever of assimilating into the existing culture. In fact, as part of the Coudenhove-Kalergi plan, they're not supposed to assimilate with the existing culture. They're supposed to destroy it. That's why they're being brought in. They're being brought in, and many of them have a deep-seated hatred of America, a deep-seated hatred of the West. Many of them have Sharia values, Sharia mindset, and they have an entirely different attitude towards women, towards the way women dress, women having the ability to utilize technology or drive cars. They have an entirely different mindset to that. So all that is brought in lock, stock, and barrel. And you look what happened to the UK. So many of the mayors there, so many of the city councils are Sharia dominated, totally at the expense of the native white population. To the point where these Pakistani grooming, sex slave grooming gangs are going around just running amok. And, you know, the constant gaslighting that we're receiving. It's been going on. The gaslighting in the UK has been going on for a long time. Oh, there's no problem with these grooming gangs. They don't exist. This is just Islamophobia. This is, again, the media, corporate media, tribalist, collectivist-controlled media, just gaslighting and lying through their teeth as usual. And omitting all the stuff that's really going on and getting people focused on trivialities on the one hand and also just pushing certain narratives on the other. COVID-19, not too long ago, it was terrorism. The destruction of European identity was absolutely key. And we've seen how the communist and also other groups that were under elite control, be they the Khmer Rouge and what used to be Cambodia, now Kampuchea, and you look at ISIS, which we know is a NATO Anglo-Zionist tool, Al-Qaeda in Iraq, Al-Qaeda in general, we know that these are, and the Taliban, we know that these are controlled assets, essentially. They're just pointed in a certain direction, and their natural inclinations will develop so that they will actively, aggressively pursue their own aims, the Taliban, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra, etc., Khmer Rouge, and they will aggressively pursue their own agenda, which happens to be in consonance with the agenda of the globalist. This post-industrial Agenda 2030, Hunger Games type of society, where whites are no longer in control, and the white culture is no longer predominant. All the trappings of civilization that we take for granted, many things will be allowed to fall into disrepair. And the technology will be there, high technology, but it will be there for surveillance purposes, for monitoring purposes, for oppression purposes. It's not necessarily going to be there to help us in any way. So what do we see now? We're seeing the tearing down of statues. They tore down the statue in San Francisco of General Ulysses S. Grant, a guy who, more than any other, if one goes by the Civil War was all about ending slavery meme, which I even fell for at one point, that's constantly, they used to be taught in the schools, I don't know about now, but used to be taught. If you go by that narrative, no one, no American in history is personally more responsible for freeing black slaves than General Ulysses S. Grant. He took over for all these ineffective generals, first in the Western Department, Mississippi, Tennessee, and then he went east and essentially took command of the Army of the Potomac, nominally under the command of General George Meade, but Meade was an ineffective, conservative, unimaginative general who needed to be prodded and pushed to do things. Long story short, eventually, Grant and his Eastern armies defeated the army of General Robert E. Lee. Grant also sent the aforementioned General Philip Sheridan to the Shenandoah Valley and defeated General Jubal Early, Confederate general in the Shenandoah Valley, which was the breadbasket of the Confederacy, where a lot of agricultural goods, food was produced and then shipped by rail to and through canals and whatnot to Richmond and to the rest of Virginia in order to support the Confederate war effort. Point of relevance is that Grant was the one that made all that possible. He took over for all these ineffectual generals, had one coordinated plan, made all the commands in the different parts of the war effort work in unison, which has never been done before. I mean, you would think that it's a no-brainer, but I guess not. And he was the first one to do that. And eventually, the Federals won, supposedly freeing all the slaves, if you want to go by the official narrative. So the notion of pulling down a statue of General Ulysses S. Grant, who freed more slaves than anyone in American history, is a grotesque perversion of the truth. But that's what these communists are all about, destroying the past, destroying one's cultural identity, destroying the history. They're all about destruction. And so many of these social justice warriors, these useful idiots, they have nothing to say about this. Oh, well, you know, that statue, it represented slavery and racism. They don't know who General Ulysses S. Grant is. I mean, there's other statues and monuments of abolitionists, people who were against slavery. Those monuments and those statues are being toppled and defaced. This is the Khmer Rouge. This is the Taliban. This is ISIS. This is the communists once again destroying the past, destroying anything that would tend to give people a coherent framework and understanding of their own national identity. Because, you know, these communists, they're internationalists. It's a worldwide communist revolution at the behest of their banker masters, of course. Even Lenin said that, in so many words that I'm paraphrasing, that the ship, rather the car, drives itself, that he has little or no control of it. And what he meant by that was there are forces in place, powerful forces, financial forces, that are actually driving the communist movement. And at some point, Lenin realized that he really didn't have much control over it all. Because communism, as you know, and you can read books like Anthony Sutton's Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, absolute classic, if you can find it, which proves this. Communism is a handmaiden of the Wall Street Rothschild financial nexus. They use communists to wipe out competition, collectivize, and look what's happening now. A combination of COVID-19, hysteria, and these communist states like California, communist-controlled states, let's say, because there's still a lot of constitutionalists in California, especially in the smaller towns and in the countryside. But the city councils, the mayors, the governor, from what I understand, is a nephew of Nancy Pelosi. And this governor had a sweetheart deal with the Chinese where he invested in a bunch of face masks. And now he's mandated everyone in California has to wear a face mask. And I'm not going to get into it right now, but suffice to say, those face masks from China are dangerous. They have like polyplastic fibers in the face mask. When you ingest that, when you breathe that, it's going to cause an immune reaction within you. Your body's going to say, ooh, getting all this weird plastic, inflammatory response. And then later, you know, and they're already reporting face mask acne as a result and deformities on the face from people wearing these masks. So these masks come over, they have all these like fibers in them that are being inhaled, causing this immune response. And if people keel over dead from wearing a mask, they're just going to write it off as a COVID casualty again. It's so sinister what's being done. And also what I've noticed is, yes, these 5G towers are springing up everywhere. They're springing up everywhere. So it's a full court press right now, folks. It's a full court press all across the board. But getting back to the communism, you set the rot in motion in the schools, in the media, to hate one's own culture, to hate the European culture, which was predominant in North America. And then you make people loathe and feel guilt-ridden and shame-based about themselves. If they happen to be white and they have a supple, vulnerable mind. And see, that's the problem with peer groups. If one has peer groups that are basically oblivious and don't know anything or are programmed by the system, then it becomes self-policing. If one's Facebook friends and one's Twitter friends are all these foaming-at-the-mouth social justice warriors, and one tries to introduce some real truth into the mix, they're going to get attacked from all sides. That's the whole idea, is the peer group, which is under mind control, under a spell, essentially, keeps everyone in line. And it promotes and encourages and furthers this communist agenda in the guise of activism, social justice warrior activism, climate activism. There's a gal named Millennial Millie. I'd love to get her on the show. And she's got a YouTube channel, and her network includes people who've actually infiltrated the Sunrise Movement. The Sunrise Movement is a climate change activist group. And I've been saying this all along. People that want to resist this are going to have to start forming cells, are going to have to do what it takes, whether it's infiltration, disruption from the inside, working in cells and covertly, surreptitiously networking with other cells, using cutouts, using operational security, all that stuff. That's what people need to start doing, right? As the late Colonel Hackworth said, out G the G, out gorilla the gorilla. These Maoists, these BLM, and the BLM types have admitted they're Marxist trained. They're Marxist trained. So the communists, they go by the Mao playbook. They study Mao. They study Lenin. They study Marxism. But the people that are they're trying to oppress, their mind is all cluttered and polluted with all the socialism. They don't even realize it. And there's an important point I need to make about the socialist programming, how similar it is. It's not even a case of similarity. It's one and the same. It's identical to the programming I've seen in people who are under Arcontic reptilian in particular control. Like I've said many times in the past, when I give a lecture sometimes, or I'm talking to a small group of people about reptilians, about alien abductions, etc., I note out of the corner of my eye, and sometimes it's happening right in front of me, the adverse effects it's having on people. It could range from someone instantly falling asleep to someone becoming agitated to the point of arguing, outright arguing with me and getting, you know, hysterical. And when that's happened in my lectures, I quickly put them in their place. No one's going to disrupt my lectures. That happened before with this idiot who claimed to be a good reptilian from Tau Ceti. That's a meme that's been going around for some time now. Oh, I'm a good reptilian from Tau Ceti. Hive consciousness. You know, when that many people, you know, all across the board, spread out time and distance, and they're saying the same things, that's hive consciousness, folks. And the reactions when I'm talking about aliens and reptilians in particular, agitation, falling asleep, getting up and walking out, etc., etc. Now, we have, for lack of a better term, to use a computer term, we have these plugins within us, neurologically, energetically, anatomically. In the same way that humans have receptors for THC or opioids, right? And one wonders how those receptors got there, especially for the opioids. And opioids have their place. If someone's in extreme pain, you know, opioids is a great way to, you know, cut the pain off, cut the pain response off. But when it's abused, like the way these, so many of these MDs are prescribing, and these MDs are prescribing opioids like they're going out of style and getting all these people addicted. You know, Janice Barcello talks about this and how, you know, infants are being hammered with synthetic opioids from day one, right? So the receptors are there, and think of it in terms of like receptors or plugins, where due to a long-term genetic engineering process, just about everyone has these receptors / plugins, which enable these archontic forces through hook and crook, interdimensional energetic manipulation, whatever the case may be, to plug in to the consciousness of people. And a lot of times this is done in the dreamscape. A lot of times this is done, especially those that have problems with intrusive thoughts and OCD thought loops. And the intrusive thoughts, that's where like Jerry Marzinski and Sherry Sweeney, where their work really comes to the fore. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't realize that these are archontic forces of various stripes that are behind the intrusive thoughts, behind the OCD thought loops, behind the violent imagery, sadistic imagery, perverse imagery, in and out of the dreamscape, not only depending on the brain structure, the amount of reptilian DNA, the amount of impulse control. And a lot of these people that are going around attacking white people for no reason other than the fact that they're white, these people have no impulse control whatsoever. So when these social justice warriors in the indoctrination process are fed these emotionally charged mantras over and over and over, white guilt, white privilege, racial diversity, multicultural diversity, gender diversity, climate change activism, and getting back to what Millennial Millie said, some of the people that she networks with that provided her the video, they infiltrated this Sunrise movement, mostly young women. And some of the recruits, some of the young girls were so young that they had to black out, obscure the faces of the young girls because they were minors. Because the people that had infiltrated the Sunrise group had videotaped, had recorded the the Zoom teleconferences, okay? Absolutely brilliant work. Infiltration. Infiltration and observe from the inside what these people are all about. And these climate change girls, they're full-on communist. They're saying, oh, tearing down buildings, destroying public property, these riots, these are all justified in order to save the climate, right? And Millennial Millie's research indicated that a lot of the funding and training, actual training, in some cases paramilitary training, was coming from these privatized military contractors for these climate change activist groups. And how the climate change activists in the Sunrise Movement were talking about, you know, how great it was that all these riots were taking place. Proving, well, we already knew this, but proving beyond the shadow of a doubt that the Sunrise Movement and the climate change activist movement in general is a controlled force to bring about these Agenda 2030, Agenda 21, Hunger Games environments. And they all work together. These Greta types, it's always angry and rage-filled. That's because in the indoctrination process, the words that they have been inculcated to repeat over and over and over, there's an archontic aspect to that. It opens them up. It allows these entities to come in because they're all, at their essence, intrinsically rage-filled concepts. We have to save the climate. Even as one crazed woman was saying, young lady was actually saying, you know, we have to eat the babies in order to save the planet, right? I mean, where did that reptile concept come from? So, the climate change, the social justice warrior mentality, literally opens these people up to entities. That's what communism is all about, is just doing away with every last vestige of humanity and filling them up with all these creeds and beliefs that open them up to entity infestation and possession. So similar to when I talk about reptilians and people fall asleep or get agitated, get up, smoke a cigarette, when you start to talk about things that goes against the programming of the social justice warriors, and it doesn't even necessarily go against a program, just something they've never heard before, it engenders and triggers the rage response, the hostility response. In the past, you know, the very human curiosity factor would come in, kick in. Oh, I never heard that. Where can I find that information? What books or websites can you guide me to? No. These social justice warriors and their fellow travelers, and they're all useful idiots, they go in the rage mode. And they just start spouting off all these mantras that they've been indoctrinated with. Racism, white guilt. That's exactly the same thing I've seen when people have these responses, program responses to reptilian information. It's the same thing, folks. That's what what we're dealing with. And that's why these communists and their useful idiots are so dangerous. How they're hell-bent on destruction. Your average milksop, if these climate change activist girls are 100% behind the destruction, the looting, the physical assaults, the rape in Seattle, in that Chud zone, that Chaz zone, Chud, cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers, if you remember that movie. If they're totally in harmony with that, in consonance with that, because they think it saves the climate and saves the planet, you're talking about some really sick, demented, depraved individuals. And don't let their looks and their age fool you. Wars are always fought by younger people commanded by older men. You look at Africa, child soldiers, left, right, and center. We've seen this in Asia. We've seen this with the Khmer Rouge. Child soldiers as they go around torturing, killing people. Don't let their age fool you. They're dangerous. The communists, at the behest of their globalist reptile hybrid masters, in some cases full-on, full-blood reptiles, they want to totally make over, reshape society. What's been described, David Icke talks about this, a Hunger Games society. And don't be surprised, folks, as crazy as it sounds, because this is all crazy to a normal, rational person who still has empathy and compassion and can still feel, if in their wisdom a national strike is called. Because if you look back to the history of the Communist Party USA, Earl Broward was head of the Communist Party USA, a top Soviet agent in America, and his descendants, because a nut doesn't fall too far from the tree, they're all behind this, all behind the white guilt, the white shame, the white privilege, the racism, race baiting, etc., etc. And the communists have long had their hooks into the AFL-CIO and the various local unions. They may decide to say, well, we're going to go on a nationwide strike in support of BLM, right? Black Lives Matter, an avowedly Marxist group. There's now a video out, and this was recorded a few years back, of one of the leaders, this black woman, saying on video, she was videotaping herself, saying that Black Lives Matter is a Marxist organization. We've had Marxist training. So I hope it doesn't happen. But if they really want to push this Hunger Games scenario along, they may call a general strike. And then the economy will really start to grind to a halt at that point. What's happened with all these forced closures of businesses and all the mistrust that's been generated? If you don't have a mask, right, you're a germ terrorist. If you don't maintain social distancing, you're a germ terrorist, etc., etc. The Hunger Games scenario is part and parcel of the control mechanism. We've seen this in the Ukrainian famine when the Bolsheviks came in and basically took everything. The Ukrainians didn't want to be collectivized. They didn't want to work in these state-controlled farms. They wanted to do their own thing. So the Bolsheviks came in and took everything, basically. The ones they didn't outright murder, the Ukrainians they didn't outright murder, they just took everything, including the next season's seeds for the next year's harvest, took everything away, the farming implements, everything. And mega famine ensued. I've seen pictures of white boys, just skin pulled, stretched over skeleton. You can see their ribs. It was just horrific. And then cannibalism ensued. Don't think for a second that they don't want that level of famine to happen in North America. They have no qualms about shutting down an organic food co-op, shutting down a place that sells or barters non-pasteurized milk. The feds will get involved, not just state and local agencies, but the feds will get involved. Oh, but for all this Hunger Games stuff, they won't. You'll have a mega stand down. And I'll talk more about that in the second half, because the communism is so localized now. The various mayors, the city councils, it's everywhere. And that's a problem that's going to have to be dealt with. Anyhow, we've reached the end of the first segment of Bartley's commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. If you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.